Bob, the disturbing trend of drug overdose deaths and drugs coming across the border continues.
Our region, like much of the country, is really seeing a rise in opioid overdoses and deaths. One particular point of concern has been the rise in fentanyl cases here. And obviously, the border region is a spot where smugglers try to get these drugs into the United States. And so the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, which are the officers who sort of man the international bridges, have seen a real sudden spike in fentanyl seizures at the first couple of weeks in December. So they seized 105 pounds of fentanyl just in El Paso. And, it, you know, by way of comparison, that amount that they seized in 2 weeks is like a third of the amount they seized in all of the prior year. So they kind of sounded the alarm after seeing this. And it's worth noting that everybody that was arrested in El Paso after the smuggling was discovered were U.S. citizens trying to drive these drugs across the border. So it's a worrisome issue. You know, we have our local issues, obviously, but obviously that also the border region is a gateway for these drugs to come in and go to the rest of the country.
And so that would mean that really it's regardless of the border closure and reopening?
Yeah, and that's one reason you're seeing U.S. citizens, by the way, being used to transport these drugs. It's easier for them to get across the border. And that's a story that Renee Klajic, who also did this fentanyl story, had reported earlier. And I think it's also, you know, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas immediately links these seizures to, you know, the Biden administration's open border policy. But Jeremy Slack, a professor at UTEP who really has studied these issues, really says we have to draw a distinction between people trying to come across the border and drugs trying to come across the border. It's the high rate of addiction in the United States that's driving this influx of drugs. It's not tied in any way to migrants trying to come across the border. Two distinct issues that are really going to require very distinct solutions.
All right. Well, along the border is the Rio Grande River, of course. And for months now?
Since August, yeah.
Wow, Bob. So the latest on the situation with the sewage being dumped into the river.
So the El Paso Water, just to remind everybody, had a failure of two of its very large pipes out in West El Paso, very near the New Mexico state line, that caused a huge ongoing spill of sewage. And they decided to put the sewage in the Rio Grande because they didn't think they had any other options. Daniel Prokop, our environment reporter, learned that the Environmental Protection Agency is requiring El Paso Water to provide information about what's going into the river and what its response is. EPA is stopping short of saying they're doing an investigation of the spill because they say they don't confirm or deny investigations. But it's very clear that they're paying a lot of attention, which should come as no surprise. I mean, I'm not a scientist or anything, but even I know that dumping, you know, 10 million gallons of sewage a day into the Rio Grande is not a healthy thing.
I would say what's surprising is that it's taken this long. And with the time we have left, there are still a few fields where women are underrepresented, and construction is one of those.
And it has a real impact. And so Victoria Rossi, who's our gender reporter and the only reporter in the region who's really focused on gender issues, did a look at women in construction in the El Paso region, in part because we're about to have this huge influx of money coming in through the infrastructure bill that's going to help drive, you know, lots and lots of construction jobs. But women in the El Paso region only hold about 11% of all construction jobs, and that's very much in line with what we see in the rest of the country. And so Victoria explored the reasons behind that, why fewer women don't get into construction work. And one of the obvious answers is that they are subject to a lot of abuse and sexual harassment in there. But there's a feeling, you know, we obviously have a labor shortage. We hear a lot about that. So there's an opportunity now as, you know, more and more construction work is needed and we don't have the workers to do it. There's more opportunities that can open up for women. And so there are some efforts going on in our region to help prepare women for these construction jobs, but obviously a lot of cultural change is going to have to take place within that industry to make it a viable career for women and not just watch them being driven out by harassment and poor behavior.
Find these stories at elpasomatters.org. Bob, thanks so much for the update. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.